Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. One of the more famous stories in the Old Testament is the story of David when he had an affair with Bathsheba. He did such evil to try to get her husband drunk, send him home, and finally, when he wouldn't do that, sent him off to war and got him killed. And he went on with life, kind of pretending everything was fine, until the prophet Nathan came and told this story about how this rich man had all these sheep, and this poor man had one, and when a friend came to visit, he killed the one sheep. And what does David do? He says, "How dare he? That man should die for what he did." And then there's the shocker, right? Where Nathan says, "That man is you." David didn't see his sin and his problems until it was pointed out in a different way. In our story today, in our lesson of Jesus healing a man who was deaf, I think we're going to see the same picture that, hey, sometimes we're pretty deaf. That we need Jesus to cause us to hear. And how does he cause us to hear? And what does that make us do? And as this deaf man who couldn't speak, he's going to speak. And are we really listening? Were the people at Jesus' time really listening? And were they sharing the right thing? We're going to see that Jesus causes the deaf to hear. That includes us. As we look at this, though, we see that Jesus is going to have some very important things about how he does this all that might kind of surprise us. Why does he do the things he does, and why does he say the things he says? Because we listen to it and we're like, why does he do this with his hands and mouth? And then why doesn't he tell them to go and share this? We can be pretty confused at why he does the things he does. But let's start at the end to understand something important. In verse 37, it says, "People were overwhelmed and with amazement. He has done everything well." The first thing I want us to remember as we look at this, that Jesus does all things well. As we look at this, we see all the things that he does well that at first we might say, well, why? Why does he do it this way? But after they see, well, who he is and what he's doing, of course, he's done all things well. We'll kind of go through this, and in all the things he says and does, we'll list all the things he does well. But before we get to that, there's one important thing to remember about this as we talk about that Jesus does all things well. Who doesn't do all things well? It might be a simple and easy question to think about, but we don't do all things well. I don't do all things well, and it's so important to see that contrast, that Jesus does all things well, even when we don't understand it, even when it's pretty strange, but we don't do all things well, and we need that perfect one. And we also have to understand that there's situations in life that we struggle with, that we aren't going to do the right thing, we're not going to handle it the right way. And so that's important for us to understand, but then even with people that we deal with, are the people around you going to do all things well? No. Your kids do all things well? Does your spouse do all things well? Do those you work with do all things well? But do we expect that? Who's the perfect one? Jesus is the perfect one. Are we expecting those around us to be perfect? And are we so surprised when they're not? think it's so important for us to remember that Jesus is the one who does all things well. But as he does this, notice how he does this well for this man, but also for you and me. The area that this takes place is in the Decapolis. What's important about this is, if you know a few chapters earlier than this in Mark, Jesus was in that same area. And this is where there was a man who was demon-possessed, and Jesus sent all these demons into these pigs, and the pigs ran off the cliff, and the people are like, Jesus, get away from here! And then this man who Jesus saved, the one who is now the only one in his right mind, because he wanted to follow Jesus, Jesus said, go home and share with your family. And Jesus returns to the same area, and now the same people who wanted him to go away are coming and bringing all these people to be healed. It sounds like there's this huge crowd, and they bring him a man who could hardly talk, and they beg Jesus to place his hands on him. Notice the people, they want him to do it this way. Jesus, fix it this way. Come and do this in front of us all. But what does Jesus do instead? It says, after he took him aside, away from the crowd. Don't skip over that part. The Greek here is emphasizing those things over and over again, that he's not with the whole group. Jesus is taking him away, aside, and giving him this individual care. Jesus is going to show care and compassion to this man and not do it the way that all the people want, but he's going to do it with him in the way that he needs. And what's the way that he needs? What's the individual care that this man needs? And again, we might say, what is he doing? But Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears, then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And we don't know exactly if he only did it in the man's ears, or did he kind of touch his own mouth and his own ear as he's spitting, but he's communicating to the man. This man who is deaf, can't speak, he's saying, your mouth, your ear, I'm going to do something. I'm going to help you. And then as he spits, he touches the man's tongue. He looks up to heaven with a deep sigh and says, be open. Again, this man who cannot hear what is going on, he's visibly able to see what Jesus is going to do. He's looking up to heaven to tell him where this is going to come from. That it's not just this thing that he's doing, but Jesus is from heaven, from God. And he sighs. Says, be open. This miracle is done very differently than many other miracles, because this is exactly the care that this man needed. The love and attention, the things that he needed to know and to be healed. I think it's important to understand that Jesus cares for you individually. But are there times that things are going on around you, or even it looks like Jesus is over there with someone and he's not here with you? Is that how Jesus works, where he can only spend time with this person and not with you? But we can feel that way at times, don't we? When sickness comes, when tragedy comes, when heartache comes, when our emotions overwhelm us, and we say, Jesus, where are you? Don't you care about me? We struggle because we don't understand what is going on, and we don't understand God's plan. But that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love you and that he doesn't care for you individually. He's washed you clean. You are his child. And so to remember that he's going to love and care for you, even if the things he's doing seems so weird, or it seems like he's over there, he cares for you individually. It's so important to see this in your life, because when we don't, when we think he's not here, we question and we wonder and we say, God, where are you? And he's saying, I'm here always with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I'm here with you every step of the way. That's really what these miracles are all about, though. When he heals the man, it's interesting because in verse 36 it says, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Why does he do that? It's always interesting as Jesus heals and shows who he is, and then he's saying, don't tell anyone. Don't tell others who I am or what's going on. Well, why? Well, the people at that time had a different idea of what the Messiah was going to come and do. They had these Roman people, the Roman authorities over them, and they wanted a Messiah to come with an army and defeat the Romans. They wanted a political Messiah, a military Messiah, and Jesus is saying, that's not me. And so he performs miracles, but he's trying to show the purpose for his power by saying, don't share right now. My time has not yet come. You don't yet understand why I'm here. As it says here, though, the people seem to understand a little bit, and maybe we're starting to see, but he said, as it says, that they were overwhelmed and amazed. He has done everything well. They said, he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the prophecy from Isaiah. Isaiah had foretold that this was the Messiah, but they just didn't get it. So what is the true purpose and power of his miracles? That the people wanted earthly power. The people wanted all of their things taken care of. We talked about already about how they wanted a bread king. Jesus, you gave us food for thousands of people, but Moses gave us food every day. Can't you do that? And we can look to Jesus and his miracles and we can say, Jesus, fix this thing now. God, why won't you do this thing? Why won't you heal this person or save this or fix this issue in our world or culture? Where are you, Jesus? You can do miracles, so why don't you do this? And it's probably what the man who was born deaf was maybe wondering, or his family, of Jesus, where are you? Until that time. But the purpose of the miracle is not to say that he's going to fix everything here, is it? The purpose of the miracle is what is prophesied about in Isaiah that we read in the first lesson. It says he will come to save you. Jesus, the Messiah, came to save, to go to that cross and to die for your eternal sins. Not just for everything here. He does come and heal. He can fix problems, as he shows. And that's what his miracles show. That God does have power over sin, death, and the devil. That when we fear, we know we have a God that is merciful and loving. And that is over all things. But what does he care about most? He cares about your eternal good. He cares about your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins. And so he told the people, don't talk about this yet because I need to get to the cross. The time for my popularity and for you to understand who the Messiah is, it's not complete because I haven't finished the work. I haven't gone to the cross. I haven't paid for your sins. I haven't risen from the dead. And so Jesus said, don't speak about it, but yet they continued. It was like they were still deaf in some ways, not listening to what Jesus said. Are there times that we can be deaf still and we share the wrong things? Share the times where people aren't perfect? Share all the struggles and all the problems and talk about all the physical things and all the immediate things, and we're not ready to share the most important thing. Because it's interesting, the word here where it talks about that they kept talking is actually a word that talks about preaching. They preached the message they wanted to, but how often when Jesus asks us to preach about Him, we don't want to. We're afraid. But we don't have to. We can look to the one who helps us hear what we need to hear through His Word, through His sacraments that we taste today, and know of His love and forgiveness. We can get blinded by the difficulties of this world and wonder, Jesus, where are you? And Jesus says, I'm right here. Doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that everything is going to work out the way we want. But no, God has your eternal good in store. And so that's the power of these miracles. The purpose of the miracles is to show that He has defeated all of our greatest fears. He's defeated sin, death, and the devil. And so when we are afraid and worried, Jesus says, I've come to save you. I've come to do the things that you cannot do. You cannot save yourself. You are not the one who does all things well. But Jesus is. And so we cling to Him and His personal love for you. That He was thinking about each and every one of you as He died on that cross and rose for you. And so cling to Him. Cling to Him when our hearts and the world cause us to be deaf to the message of His love and mercy. Let His Word and what He's done break into your hearts to know He is merciful and He has loved you. And He will continue to love you throughout all things. So know your Savior has done all things well. And He has come to save you. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.